Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together with your word. And we love your word, Lord, and we open our hearts and minds to it right now. I ask that you speak through me and speak by your spirit, Lord, and let your truth be made known. And the truth is what sets us free, knowing the truth and then the truth itself. And Lord, we just open our hearts and minds to godly, divine truth. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk tonight about overcoming addictions. And I think the theme of what we're going to talk about here is God's love. I am convinced that God's love is the heart of beating addictions. But you know, people don't totally always understand God's love. God's love is so unfathomable. It takes you eternity to find out how rich it is and how large it is. I just know this. Demons can't stand up against God's love. God's love is just drives them out. God's love just melts human hearts. It even says in the Bible that the goodness of God leads men to repent. The goodness of God leads men to repent. Not preaching them hellfire and brimstone. Well, if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. That's not the goodness of God. God didn't even make hell for man. He made it for Satan and his followers. He didn't make hell for man. God is not too happy about the fact that man, a lot of men are going to end up in hell. Because he didn't make it for them. Men send themselves there. So I don't preach a lot about hell. I don't preach a lot about sin. I preach a lot about love and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I believe is love. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know that scripture, John 3:16. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, they had never seen any type of love like that on the earth yet. The nation of Israel, all the prophets they have, those guys, if you could read about some of them, they weren't that loving. They just obeyed and did what God said, and whoever got in the way sometimes, well, oh well. Even King David, a very loving guy, said, you should hate your enemies. He says that in one of the Psalms. And David could kill easily. I mean, one guy brought bad news one time and David put him to death. So I'm telling you, when Jesus came to the earth, they had never seen the kind of love he came preaching about, talking about, showing, representing. He was just the love of God incarnate. I mean, and you know, I got to tell you, this is what's missing in a lot of people that are saved people. They don't know that we are also the love of God incarnate. When we receive Christ in our hearts, we become the love of God in our hearts. We're love beings. We are made to love. And you have human love, and then you have God's kind of love. And God's kind of love, some of you know this word. It's a Greek word. It's called agape. It's called agape love. That's a Greek word, and that's the word they use to say God's love. And God's love goes a lot further than human love. Human love is often conditional. Human love is often tied up in romantic love. Human love, it's like, when you stop loving me, I'm going to stop loving you. When you don't suit my needs anymore, then I'm going to stop loving you. This is the way human love is. But God loves us, and he never gives up. Never. He never gives up on us. He loves us to the core of our beings. We're his children. And he made us to love us. He made us to have fellowship with us. Well, Jesus came to the earth talking about this. And he just, it put the religious people of his day on tilt. They could not take it. And the demons start getting stirred up. The first thing they were trying to do is figure out how to kill him. Because he was really messing up things with his talk of love. So, the love of God, you just need to understand. One time, Jesus, They came and told him that his cousin had been beheaded. John the Baptist. They beheaded him. He's a preacher. He's a great preacher. And they had beheaded him, and they came and they said, "They have beheaded your cousin." Now this is a guy he grew up with. And they were 6 months apart in age. And they were blood cousins. And Jesus also commented on John's ministry and was very impressed with it. And when they came and said, "Your cousin has been beheaded," it says he went away to a faraway place, and he sat alone and he grieved and he cried. But what happened was, what most guys would do that had the influence that Jesus had is they'd say, "Okay, we're going to go storm Herod's palace." Herod's men, King Herod's men, killed John the Baptist. And Herod had ordered it done. And Jesus could have said, "All right, get your pickaxes, get your rods, get your swords. We're going to go storm the palace. We're going to take those guys out." You know, that's what normal human love, human beings would do. But Jesus knew that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but evil powers that are not human beings. He knew that the murderers in this case were just as big of victims as the victim. And so this is what he did. He stays in his place praying with great compassion, with great love for grief, great grief for his cousin. And all of a sudden, here comes the crowds. The crowds come looking for him because they want some more healings. Because he's been healing them now for weeks and months. And now here they come. They want some more. And Jesus is over here in his grieving place. And Jesus does not even say, "Get away from me. I'm grieving. My cousin was just killed." He doesn't say that. They come and they say, "Master, could you lay hands on us? My child is sick. I'm sick. I've got this. I'm a leper. I'm this. I'm that." And they all needed something from him. And they pressed in on him. And the Bible says, "And he was moved with compassion, and he healed them all." That's what the Bible says. In his great grief, he was moved about his cousin. He decided he was going to get even with the powers that be that put his cousin to death, that is the devil. And he was going to go show love on these people, and he was going to take out the devil in their lives. And it really says in the Bible that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came, to destroy the works of the devil. And in that instance, when he was grieving so bad, he could find in his heart compassion and love and go and minister to these people and really give paybacks and get this whole crowd healed and delivered and blessed and get the devil out of them. And that's how he got even, is being moved with compassion and healing them all. Think about that. That's amazing. He needed his own time by himself, but he gave it up and he said, "I'll show this Satan. He thinks he can kill my cousin. You know, my cousin's a martyr now. My cousin is with God. All he did was promote my cousin. Now I'm going to show Satan what really godly love is like." And you know what? I'm telling you, when you receive Christ in your heart, you got this love of Christ. It's there in seed form. Some of us have it more developed than others. But you have love. And love is really the way that you are going to overcome anything, including any addiction. Because, number one, you love yourself too much to destroy yourself any further. Addictions, alcoholism, pornography, drug abuse. You could go on and on. Eating disorders, gambling. These all have the same root. I taught last week, and you need to hear last week's teaching, that people are in bondage their whole life through fear of death. It says that in Hebrews 2. True. Hebrews chapter 2. Through fear of death. So there's this fear they have, and it drives them into bondage. And all bondages are rooted in fear. That's the root of all bondage. And it's specifically, it's the fear of death that drives bondages. And I gave you that illustration about the baby crying because it's hungry and it needs to nurse. And it feels like it's starving to death, so it has a fear of death, so it cries. And not to say that babies are in bondages, but as we grow up, sometimes we're not weaned, you know. We need something in our mouth, you know. We need to be eating or drinking or something. We need to soothe ourselves because we have this fear of the death of our good feelings. Fear of the death of our peace. Fear of the death of our soothed soul. And then we're driven to the dark place of addiction. But you know what? We're going to go. I'm going to show you scripture tonight where it says, perfect love casts out fear. So, okay, Lord, I have the perfect love of God in me, put in me at my new birth when I receive Christ. Now, the teachings we do unveil the love to you. When you know about it, then your mind comes into agreement with what's already in your heart, and you're in a very powerful place. It's called divine revelation. That's what it's called. Revelation means reveal like a light bulb going off. So when your mind comes into agreement with your heart, where the love of God is, now it's like nitroglycerin, you know, which is very explosive. You can do anything with love. I'm telling you, the most powerful beings on this earth are the beings that love the most. With God's love, those are the most powerful beings. Because you can't do anything to them that hurts them or bothers them. Because they've already got you forgiven in advance. And really, they're not going to be upset if you're going to slap them across the face. So really, you can't really do anything to them. And that kind of person loves God. So if you're going to kill them, you're just going to improve their lifestyle. You know? So they're not even afraid of that. And I want all of you to be like this. I want you to walk in the love of God. And to be, you know, exploding with God's love in your life every day. God gives us the power to love. He already gave it to us. I'm convinced that you already have it. And if you're not doing it, you just need to, like I said, learn what you have.